Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello and welcome again to 3TFM's Holy Half Hour with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Parish Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. I'm normally a minister, but my other lives include radio presenter and world traveller. Tonight, let's jet off down my memory lane to Kenya. Africa is a wonderful continent, but just getting there was an adventure in itself. At London Airport, I discovered that my luggage was £90, which is weight, and £90 penalty overweight, because I was carrying brake pads for the missionaries. I explained that to Sudan Airlines, a Muslim airline. I just didn't say what kind of missionaries, and they excused me the penalty. I went Sudan Airways because they were £100 cheaper than all the other airlines. So when I got on board the plane, all the announcements were in Arabic, and I got it translated that the toilets are not working, so hold on till Rome. I didn't know we're going to Rome. When we approached Rome, we made 4 attempts to land before succeeding, and so when we landed, there was a nervous round of applause. Folk were glad to be touching terra firma. Then, when we took off from Rome, there was a woman sitting beside me. She'd just got on board. And she was an Arab speaker, so we couldn't really converse. And as we flew, she put her hand into her message bag and took out an injection kit, and she landed it on my lap, basically saying, hold that. I thought it was medicine for her asthma. She definitely had some problem in that direction. But it turns out asthma is a side effect of taking drugs. At Rome, she'd got on, and when we arrived at Cairo, which I also didn't know we're going to, but when we got there, police came on board and arrested her for drug taking. I was sitting sort of as far away from her as I could slouch. I'm not with her. The plane was stuck at Cairo on the runway, with the doors open in strong heat at 4 o'clock in the morning. So I put my head out for some fresh air. I actually went down the steps to stretch my legs, and at the bottom step I was met with 2 rifles up my nose. Get back in Egyptian, they said. Then we landed in Khartoum, the headquarters of the airline. Everybody had to get off. I didn't know why. It was all in Arabic. There was no information given. So I was stuck in Khartoum airport in a hot alien situation with not a clue what was happening. So along with another passenger, I asked somebody, who's your boss and who's your boss and who's your boss? And we worked our way up to the head office. When we got in there, there was a little man like Hitler with a moustache, and he was bawling down the phone at somebody. Above his head there was a fan with flies sitting on it getting a free ride. And then we played the helpless tourists and we explained that we're stuck, we don't know what's happening. Then in came someone saying, the plane's fixed. So we said, we're off. I didn't ask what was wrong with the plane. Then we had an unexpected stop at Juba in South Sudan. I watched my suitcase flying through the air from one baggage handler to another. Eventually I arrived in Kenya at Nairobi Airport, and then a journey to Lemuru, and it took 26 hours travel to arrive at the Scottish missionaries I was staying with. They also had other guests who had come from Scotland, but they'd flown direct with KLM, and they'd just taken 10 and a half hours. Anyway, time for some African music, now that we've landed.
Moja tisa saba moja dayosisi kuanzishwa ilikuwa
tarehe 2
wa saba
mwezi wa saba kama leo
moja
tisa
saba
moja
dayosisi
kuanzishwa
wana Ruvuma
kuanzisha Bwana Ruvuma kwa upendo na furaha tulipokea.
I was staying with Scottish missionaries at Limuru College in Kenya. That was John and Patricia Munro. Then I stayed with Scottish missionaries at Chogoria Hospital with Drs. Scott and Mary Murray. Scott was the head doctor there. I shadowed Scott everywhere he went. I could sit like a fly on the wall in his surgery. I remember seeing the man who held his prescription in his hand and visibly hesitated between the pain of his pain and the pain of paying his medicine. That hospital has 10,000 patients per year. It has a catchment of 250,000 people, and yet the hospital uses less drugs than one British GP. The best moment for me was when Scott was called to deal with a breech birth of a baby. It's the only time in my life that I've been privileged to witness the birth of a baby. I stood gobsmacked. What a miracle of nature, and a miracle of modern science when there are complications. Scott took the baby and put it on a tray. We looked at her, and then he said, "I have to pull the oxygen tubes out of her nose, and she either breathes unaided or she does not and dies. There's nothing more I can do." So he pulled the tubes out, and we held our breath. We waited an eternity, peering at the little tummy to see if there was movement. And then she did breathe. It was as close as that. Here's Anne Murray singing a song for baby.
I'll walk in the rain by your side. I'll cling to the warmth of your tiny hand. I'll do anything to help you understand. I'll love you more than anybody can. And the wind will whisper your name to me. Little birds will sing along in time. The leaves will bow down when you there when you're feeling down, to kiss away the tears if you cry. I'll share with you all the happiness I found, a reflection of the love in your eyes. And the wind long in time, the leaves will bow down when you walk by, and morning bells will chime, and the wind will whisper your name to me. Little birds will sing long in time.
One morning, I walked past three Kenyan men sitting under a tree. I passed them about half a dozen times. Eventually, I stopped and we laughed. I joined them. I said, "You must be wondering if I have ants in my pants. On the other hand, I was wondering what you are doing, or rather not doing, all this time." "Oh, we're waiting to make a phone call. The telephone operator will call us back when it's our turn." This was an old, old system. "How long have you been waiting?" I said. "Oh, about 3 hours." 3 hours? In my country, if we didn't get through in 3 seconds, we'd be complaining. "We were thinking we will just come back tomorrow," they said. African time is something else. On the overnight sleeper train from Nairobi to Mombasa, we chugged along at a very sedate pace indeed. A fellow passenger pointed out that we could have driven the journey by car in half the time. When the guard came in, I said, "Is it true that this journey is twice as long as it would take by car?" "Yes. Are you in a hurry?" "No," I replied, "but it's just the principle of it. Why go slow if you can go fast?" You see, the way the African thinks, if you go slow and arrive in a nice state of mind, you're ready for what you're going to do. Whereas if you drive fast by car with the potholes, the donkeys and the carts and everything else, you need a lie down when you arrive. And how about this lesson? I was lying on Mombasa Beach, sunbathing, watching the coconuts to see if they might fall, having a meditative moment in paradise, when a young man came up to me to sell trinkets. He spoiled my moment in the sun. I said to him, "Why don't you ask those people over there? Maybe they will buy your souvenirs, but you're wasting your time with me." Then he said, "But I'm not trying to save time. I'm here on the beach all day, every day. And I like talking to you tourists. I'm not trying to save time." And then I thought, maybe we do go a bit too fast.
Symphony.
On another occasion, I went to a Kenyan village where five ministers had assembled their 30 congregations for a special service. When they knew a Scottish minister was around, they insisted that I should be one of their five special speakers. There were about 2,000 people. It was my first speaking engagement in Africa, the first time in my life speaking through an interpreter. All 30 choirs insisted on singing, so it lasted from 11 in the morning to 5 p.m. in the heat of the sun, outdoors. The theme for the day was a bold one. You will never thirst again. Jesus' words to the woman at the well. A bold theme because they'd been suffering 9 months of drought. However, just on cue, as the fifth and final speaker was doing a Billy Graham-style invitation to people to come forward and give their lives to Jesus, it began to spit with rain. Soon, little African children appeared wearing their wellies. It was then announced that 89 people had come forward and got saved. So I tried the same sermon back home in Scotland. Not a flicker. In fact, I was told that the service was a minute over the 60 minutes. Water is a very serious matter in Africa. It's also a serious matter all over the world.
Our children's children's children are gonna need some water to drink. We take the water for granted, but stop a minute and think, stop a minute and think. Can't you just hear the voices of our great, great grandsons and daughters raising their hands to their ancestors saying, I need a drink of water. I need a drink of water, yeah.
I need a drink of water. I need a drink of water. Do you have some clean water for me? I need a drink of water. I need a drink of water. Do you have some clean water for me?
I saw a third world woman giving her baby a Coke. This is no lie, my friends, this is no joke. They say that Coca-Cola is the real thing, but I just want some water. I need a drink of water. I just want some water that's clean.
I need a drink of water. I need a drink of water. Do you have some clean water for me? I need a drink of water.
I need a drink of water. Do you have some clean water for me? I need a drink of water. I need a drink of water. Do you have some clean water for me? I need a drink of water. I need a drink of water. Do you have some clean water for me?
Now I don't want no chlorine, no pesticides, no fluoride, you know what I mean. I just want some water that's clean. I just want some water. We all need water. I just want some water that's clean. Here we go.
I need a drink of water. I need a drink of water. Do you have some clean water for me? I need a drink of water. I need a drink of water. Do you have some clean water for me?
Yeah.
I need a drink of water. I need a drink of water. Do you have some clean water for me? I need a drink of water. I need a drink of water. Do you have some clean water for me?
Our children's children's children are gonna need some water to drink. We take the water for granted, but stop a minute and think. Stop a minute and think.
I need a drink of water. I need a drink of water. Do you have some clean water for me?
Life is not easy in Africa. I met Francis, a farmer, who grows tea and coffee, but is so poor he can't afford to buy tea and coffee in the shops, even though he produces the stuff. I visited a head teacher in a school. When I asked him if I could go to the toilet, he just opened the door in his office and pointed me up a path to an outdoor toilet. That's the head teacher. I got such a shock when, in the middle of nothing, I came across a breeze block building with a corrugated roof. Inside, it had nothing, no furnishings whatever, just bare walls and a roof. Then I noticed on the wall a notice board with a poster which said, "Missionary Collection to help the poor people in Pilton in Edinburgh." I couldn't believe it. They had nothing, but they wanted to follow Jesus and give help to other poor people. They've a great attitude, like this next song.
Well, I'd sing a song I made up for the first anniversary of the Peace Center of Nevada County, and I'll teach it to you. Everything I make up is damn simple, you know, you won't have any problem with it. We are singing through the hard times, singing through the hard times, working for the good times to come. We are singing through the hard times, singing through the hard times, working for the good times to come. We are singing through the hard times, working for the good times to come. Now, those of you who do not sing, I will see to it personally that a Mormon missionary is sent to each of your homes. And Mr. Keeler will sing this with us, and I would like to remind you that the louder you sing, the better he sounds. We are singing through the hard times, singing through the hard times, working for the good times to come. We are singing through the hard times, singing through the hard times, working for the good times to come. Sometimes our living gets so dark and lonesome, it seems like there's nothing we can do. So we reach out to each other and raise a song together and let our voices carry us through. We are singing through the hard times, singing through the hard times, working for the good times to come. We are singing through the hard times, singing through the hard times, working for the good times to come.
And I spoke at a Sunday service in a church. The service lasted 6 hours, from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. It wasn't my fault. I was speaking through an interpreter, but anything I ever said, he seemed to take twice as long to say. I ended up poking him and challenging him, what's he saying? The offering was something else. Poor people threw coins into this ordinary looking basin. The even more poor people, they threw in vegetables. And they threw them in, and the folk collecting with the basins were swinging along the aisle to spontaneous African music as only Africans can sing. I also assisted at a wedding. There were two ministers, a black one and a white one. There were two best men. There were 22 bridesmaids all the way up the aisle. Outside, I stood next to a woman, one of the guests, and we were watching the wedding photographs being taken. I looked at her basin with a hen in it. She looked back at my quizzical expression and enlightened me. Think of it as an egg-laying machine. It's my wedding gift to them.
Hatuwezi kurudi nyuma. Hatuwezi kurudi nyuma. Songa mbele, hatuwezi kurudi nyuma. Songa mbele, hatuwezi kurudi nyuma.
Kina mama tusonge mbele.
Hatuwezi kurudi nyuma.
Kina mama tusonge mbele.
Hatuwezi kurudi nyuma. Songa mbele, hatuwezi kurudi nyuma. Songa mbele, hatuwezi kurudi nyuma.
Kina dada tusonge mbele.
Hatuwezi kurudi nyuma.
Yeye tusonge mbele.
Hatuwezi kurudi nyuma. Songa mbele, hatuwezi kurudi nyuma.
Yeye
tusonge mbele. Hatuwezi kurudi nyuma.
Oma kitusonge mbele.
Hatuwezi kurudi nyuma.
Oma kitusonge mbele.
Hatuwezi kurudi nyuma. Songa mbele. Hatuwezi kurudi nyuma.
I went on a fantastic wildlife safari in the Maasai Mara Game Reserve in Kenya, with lots of precious memories, including two lions came padding up to us in the jeep. They had a sniff, but they went away again. Then I stood face to face, all alone, with an adult elephant. It was like high noon, and you can guess I backed off first. I walked into a black African buffalo in the dark. We both ran in opposite directions because we both didn't know what had hit us. We sat in the jeep on a night safari and we switched off all the lights. There were no electric lights for 100 miles. You could touch your nose without seeing your hand. When the jeep lights were switched back on, we found that we were surrounded by a herd of hyenas. In the early morning light, before dawn, we saw what we thought was the outline of a tree. But it turned out it wasn't a tree, it was actually a giraffe. Then we saw another tree, which turned out to be a giraffe, and another. Eventually, as dawn broke, we realised there were no trees. They were all giraffes. It was a forest of giraffes. It's one of the most amazing sights I have ever seen. What an experience, what a privilege. On my trip to Kenya, I saw poverty and I saw wealth. I found myself, near the end, in a very posh hotel in Mombasa. It was overwhelmingly lavish, a 5-star luxury hotel, having just seen a lot of poverty. I was so paralysed, I just stood still and put my suitcase down. I felt a wave of guilt. I said, what am I doing here? This is not my scene. How can I live like this with people living like that all around? I felt a poser, the big white Bwana. I felt it's wrong, it's self-indulgent. Then I began to get a bit angry with the travel agent. I got a bit angry with God. You're supposed to be guiding me. Why don't you guide me to other than this excessive lavish spending? I wouldn't do this, I'm an Aberdonian anyway. I've been conned into this. And then I suddenly thought, mind you, it is a lovely hotel. It is a lovely setting on the Indian Ocean with palm trees and coconuts and the golden sand, the full moon. This would be a lovely place to take my beloved for a honeymoon. And then the penny dropped and the thought occurred to me. If I would like to lavish this little paradise on my beloved, God would like to lavish his little paradise world on me, his beloved. God was guiding my tour. He had shown me some harsh realities in life, but he was also the God who loves me and wants to lavish the best he can offer me. So I was then overcome with a wave of gratitude and joy, counting my blessings, praising God, feeling obliged to enjoy what God had so lavishly provided. It's a great parable of life, is it not? Well, our half hour has run its course, but I'd like to leave you with a Scotsman leading worship in Africa. This is Tom Ingalls. The song is by Yeti Nkosi, and it means praise to the King of Kings, the Lord of Africa as well as of Scotland.
Bayeti Nkosi,
Bayeti, King of Kings,
Bayeti, Bayeti Nkosi,
Bayeti Nkosi, King, King of Kings.
Oh, we love you, Lord. You are Bayeti Nkosi, the great king over all the earth. Yes.
Who can match your grace?
We praise you, Lord. He's the Lord of all the earth.